Microwave Dave Gallagher has been hosting Talking the Blues on WLRH in Huntsville in Alabama for more than 30 years. Every week he starts the show with this classic track from Earl Hooker.
I want you for my own, Annie Lee.
Hello everyone, I'm Microwave Dave, talking the blues on WLRH. A great pleasure having you tuned in. I hope things are going well where you are. I have some blues new releases for you for the next hour. First of all, Earl Hooker, our theme master, gift and intermission. Take a break, girl.
And don't you hear the wedding bells ringing for me and you, Annie Lee?
He's also been leading his own band, Microwave Dave and the Nukes, since the 1980s, playing their take on the blues that originated in the Mississippi Delta. That music is also at the heart of his weekly public radio program, Talking the Blues. Organizes each hour-long show around what he calls a magazine format, playing three or four songs from three different acts on each show.
I started using the WLRH show maybe 20 years ago as more of a new artist feature. I was trying to give people a chance to see what was coming up that I thought had value and added to what blues was at the time and was heading into. So I started going with four artists, and then I cut it down to three so I could get maybe four songs from each new release that came out, and that way put a dozen songs out in an hour with a light discussion of who they are, where they've come from, and what they had to offer and what's different about them, and maybe point out a couple of musical characteristics for the people out there who are technical music listeners, people who like compositional ideas or keys or changes or grooves and that kind of stuff. So I've always put that kind of stuff in as well. It's fun to do it that way, and I do think that a lot of times sitting down with a CD and trying to pick out the four best songs for that approach can take a good bit of time, but I think it's worth it, and people seem to like it.
For someone who spent so many years on the road, on the Chitlin' Circuit, being a big R&B and blues entertainer, big show, fancy suits, hoochie girls dressed up in fringe dresses and things to make their movements more obvious, great arrangements, tight band, here he is doing deep blues, guitar, vocal, and harmonica, overdubbing in this case, for his new album called Rawer Than Raw. I believe this one is also nominated for a Grammy Award. We'll find out. He's already won one. He's been nominated several times. The last one there, the original song called Sometimes I Wonder. Before that, his cover of Skip James' Hard Times from Benton, Mississippi. Bentonia, I should say. A great cover of Howlin' Wolf's Shake It For Me. And he left it up there beginning with Let Me In Your House, another seduction song. And he had a bunch of those in a variety of styles. But he's been around. He's still going, 85 or 86 years old now, and still doing well, and actually at the top of his acceptance in his entire career. Bobby Rush, Rawer Than Raw on 30 Tigers Records.
Microwave Dave Gallagher's Talking the Blues is the first show dedicated to the blues on WUTC in a long time. In fact, since the first one, hosted by the venerable blues doctor, the late Russell Linneman, who hosted a weekly show for more than 20 years. Microwave Dave, it turns out, is one of the blues doctor's biggest fans.
One of my great heroes, Dr. Russell Linneman, was the program host of the blues program that was on there years back. And when we used to play Chattanooga regularly, late 1990s, early 2000s, he was helpful in getting us booked both at the Monday night. He had those Blue Mondays going on at the Sandbar, and he also got us into the Riverbend Festival. We played the Bessie Smith Strut two or three times. I remember, I still have, somewhere I have copies of the front page of the Chattanooga Times Free Press where they listed us as best bet on the front page. So we have a lot of friends in Chattanooga from back in that era. It actually came up when he was not far from passing away, and I came up and brought a guitar and sat and played for him a little bit. I am by no means his favorite guitar player. I never was. And I knew that, but I just wanted to come up and do something to acknowledge the fact that he was coming to the end of his life and that he had done an awful lot to promote blues as an idiom and promote musicians in blues especially. He was really great at that, and his research was a lot deeper, I think, than people realize. A lot of us are disc jockeys, and we read liner notes and one sheets and things, but he went all the way back into the cultural and racial history of the United States and Africa, I think, to find where he got his basis of understanding for blues. That's really going beyond the pale for most people.
He traveled with the Sonny Terry and Briony McGee when he was a student.
Ah, that's wonderful. I didn't know that. That's
wonderful. And you know, I mean, the man knew everybody. You know, it doesn't matter who you mention. Oh, yeah, and he'd go on an anecdote about that person's life and how he met them and how he played, hung out with them and that kind of thing.
He brought some great acts. I remember we played in front of Deborah Coleman two different times, and he was helping her rise up on her way up before she had her untimely passing as well.
Dave Gallagher grew up in Texas near Houston. What brought you to the blues in the first place? At what point did you start listening to it?
I'm trying to think what year it was. It was about 1956 or 57. I was born in 46. I was 9 or 10 years old. And I went to my first ever horror movie double feature with some friends of mine and got frightened to death. You know, cheap grade B monster movies from the 50s. And I was just scared to death. We were on the payphone to get my mother to come pick us up before she'd even gotten back home from dropping us off. We were frightened. From then, I could not sleep at night. I was terrified. I could not sleep. And I would turn the radio on as low as I could do it.
He was listening to a station playing rhythm and blues all night.
Once that was going in your ear, it was very hard to be sad and very hard to be scared. It was a lot of company. So I would listen to that, and I was hearing Jimmy Reed, B.B. King, some local Albert Collins records at that time, Arthur Prysock, Phil Austin, people like that. Bobby Blue Bland, of course, a lot of those kind of things. So I would fall asleep with that in my ear, and I would sleep with those things in my ear all night long. I'd wake up in the morning, and the gospel show would be on it. So I was basically installing that stuff in my subconscious by accident, just as a way to get over being afraid of the dark. It probably went on for a 2 or 3 year period until I moved away. And I think that's really what got me listening to it.
In the early 1960s, Dave and his family moved to Georgia, and he started listening to soul music.
There were some really good local combos that were playing in Atlanta. Primarily, you would have a guitar, bass, and drums, and maybe a trumpet and a saxophone. You have two horns in there. This went on and was very popular up until the point of the British invasion, where all of a sudden everybody had to have two guitars and a couple of singers instead of just one singer up front, and you had to change the style. And that changed everything as far as what was played popularly. But yeah, that was the genre that I came into, and I got going in that. And the last band I had before going into the service was a four-horn band called The Majestic. We had a trumpet, two saxophones, and a trombone, guitar, bass, and drums. And we were playing around the Atlanta area and getting out a little bit, but we got some really lucky breaks. We had a chance to play the Royal Peacock in downtown Atlanta, which was the big, fancy Chitlin' Circuit Club in Atlanta. And we were called in, I think, as a last-minute replacement. But one of the other bands was lost to be the back, the local act, and to back whoever was coming in that needed an act. So the first weekend we played with local guys, and we played with Billy Stewart, who was having a big hit with Summertime right at that moment. And then we opened for Aretha Franklin, who was playing there with her trio. She had not had her Atlantic record success. That was coming up the next year. She was playing her stuff, and it was all great, but when she sat down at the piano and played, I mean, you would have, you know, goosebumps big enough to put real estate signs on, you know, on the back of your neck, and there was no avoiding that feeling she put out. And we were standing, you know, 10 feet behind her in these small dressing rooms right behind the stage listening to her sing, and it was just amazing that we were being allowed to play on these shows. And later on, we did another one with Carla Thomas and William Bell, and we backed up both of them. So 18, 19 years old, you know, and getting to do this kind of work with the stars of that level.
Microwave Dave Gallagher hosts Talking the Blues every Sunday evening at 10 on WUTC.
This is my house.
Let's talk about it. Talking about it, babe.
This is my house. I wanna make that clear.
Got something on my mind. 2 o'clock in the morning, you haven't made it home yet. Hanging out with your friend, you need to show me some respect. I don't should. If you don't straighten up and find a light, you can get your things and get out. Just hand me your keys, cause everything belongs to me.
This is my house.
Oh, yeah.
I pay the bills here.
Oh, yeah.
This is my house. I wanna make that clear. This is my house. I pay the bills here.
Don't need you.
This is my house.
Laying down the law. No question about it there. This is Deidre, the Alabama Blues Queen. That's the name of the album as well. The last we heard there called My House. Nice funky groove again. The kind of the Memphis flavor of bumpy stuff that came out back in the 80s and 90s. And they're really good at this right here. Before that was a very interesting groove. A lot of guitar counterpoint taking place. No keyboards in here. Just nice guitar work backing up her biographical song, My Story. Telling where she came from, how she got to where she was, and how it all worked out. All kinds of emotion available in her voice. And then the one before this one, If I Let You Hit It, was upbeat, bright, a positive sounding thing, even if it's talking about a potential relationship. Obviously, she says in the lyric, I have a relationship, I'm looking for a good time. And we opened up with one called Strut Your Stuff, good and heavy hitting stuff right there. Once again, Keith and Ruff, the guitarist, and her husband can do anything there is that needs to be done with a guitar, including recording all this stuff as well. Deidre, Alabama's Blues Queen, is the name of the album on Ruff Pro Records.
In the late 1960s, like so many young men of his generation, Dave Gallagher was drafted and sent to Vietnam.
One at a time, people got pulled out, including me, and that was the end of that band. But while I was there, I got lucky because I was stationed in one base at Saigon at Thompson Newton, which was a big base, and they had a lot of clubs, and I got into a mixed-race band over there. I was one of the couple white guys in and out of the bands playing soul music, and that was my salvation over there. I got to keep my hand in what I was doing, not have the war every minute of every day up and down my neck. I had to have music. And then two or three things that happened while I was there that were important. One, when they shot Robert Kennedy, and then they shot Martin Luther King. And when Martin Luther King was assassinated, that changed the racial situation over there entirely. And I had experienced the worst racism of my life in that period after they shot Martin Luther King, because the black airmen and soldiers, they couldn't take it anymore. They simply could not stand for what had happened back home. They had been your friends, and they weren't like, I didn't get hostility from all of them. I got from some, but I'd get where the people that had been my friends were no longer interested in having a conversation. Then I thought, well, what, I'm going to go back to the United States when this is over, and I'm going to go back into soul music? That's not going to work anymore. What am I going to do? So in the middle of that, Richard, I heard on Armed Forces Radio, I heard Sunshine of Your Love by Cream. I didn't know who it was. I thought, what's going on? This is blues, but what is it? It's completely different. So I had a friend who was going home on R&R look up that record and bring me back the single. And he did. And I said, well, here's where I can go. I can take the guitar and I can push it forward and take the blues in this direction. So that was actually a saving point for me. I've always wanted to meet Eric Clapton long enough to thank him, just say thank you for what you provided for me over there. It was a negative experience going through the Tet Offensive and all that stuff, but it was also a place for, and I made my mind that while I was there, that if I get out of this, I'm not ever doing anything else I don't believe in again. I'm going to do music for the rest of my life, whether I succeed or fail. Speaking of Vietnam, let me add one other thing that happened that was very interesting. After the death of Martin Luther King and everything had just become severely divided racially, we had a visit from James Brown. The situation during the time of the Christmas visits of Bob Hope, we were not allowed to have Bob Hope that year because it was not safe for him to come in that part of the country. But James Brown came over with a five-piece band. I had seen James a number of times before I went to the service, a giant fan of what he was doing. And so when he showed up with a female singer, a trumpet and a sax, and a guitar, bass, and drums, did two shows at the Bass Theater where I was, and I got to go to one of those. The most amazing thing that happened was he had a white bass player. I believe it was Tim Drummond. I may be wrong about who it was. It's one of the better-known bass players out there playing in his band. So here was Soul Brother number one with Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, and all this stuff. And here he was with a white bass player in his band, and it took about 20 degrees off the heat between white and black people at that base. And those guys, they were not given the kind of security that Bob Hope's crew got. They were on their own for a lot of stuff. They saw a lot of very dangerous things. And I had a chance to talk to Clyde Stubblefield, the drummer, about that, because he was on that tour. And he said, yeah, there were times we didn't think we were going to get back. Just scary. I saw the value of what the music did, and I saw the value of who was on stage making it in everybody's eyes. 1 or 2 hours, it just changed the temperature of the relationship between the two races.
In the late 1980s, Dave Gallagher, much to his surprise, began putting together a weekly radio program for the public radio station in Huntsville in Alabama.
You're listening to Talking the Blues. I'm Mike Wave Dave. Grateful that you are. We're going to go now to an album that came out in 2019, actually. I'm over a year late getting to it. Slim and the Percolators. Slim is a guy named Derek who plays harmonica.
I never expected to be on radio. I mean, you can listen to my speech and you can tell I'm not trained. I talk too fast. I talk with an uncertain meter. I mean, everything about it is wrong. But WLRH is the first public radio station in the whole state of Alabama. We did not have public radio until they got lost in the 70s. And the great thing about it was they were 100,000 watt FM. You could hear them all over the place up here, and they had a great stereo signal. They had also, when I was listening a lot in the 80s, they had the only blues program we could get. So I would listen to that religiously. It came out on Thursday nights, and I would listen to that. And so they were doing a fundraiser at one point, and I was way too poor to offer any money to them. But they said something about needing phone volunteers. And so I thought, well, I'll come down there on the Thursday night and be a phone volunteer. So I did. And I went down there, and there were only two or three other people there, plus the program director was actually running the station that night. We were sitting up there, and the phones were not ringing. I forgot what was on the air, but something before the blues show came on. And I had a harmonica in my pocket. So I was just sitting around with a harmonica with the other people. And said, well, you got to send us some money. Can you send it right now? And so he grabbed me and put me on the air doing that. And so next thing I know, I'm sitting there and they're doing that on the microphone, going out over 100,000 watt field. And then he's put me on the spot. He said, well, you got a blues band, right? And I said, yeah. And actually, it was just barely getting going at that point. He said, well, would you come down here? We'll put you on next week. And we had not played a gig. We were rehearsing at that point and had not played a gig. And I said, well, of course we will. So that was how I got into doing the radio. We came down and played a live set. We were fortunate to have a really good engineer who came in and mixed us for the station engineer. He got us a really good mix. And we were loose, and we were awful. It was terrible, and people were just ringing the phones wanting to know where we were playing. It was not good, Richard. It was not. I've got a copy of it. It's not good. But people were so ready. 1989, Stevie Ray Vaughan had brought the blues to everybody's attention, and the blues record racks in the stores had gone from being like one little box to, long racks of everybody coming out on CD, and everybody was reissuing everything, and blues was in everybody's face because of the success of Stevie Ray Vaughan, primarily, at that point. And so everybody was ready for it, so we just happened to hit it. So that was in May of 1989, and we started playing at that point, and around about October, the same program director, Wayne Blackwell, asked me, would you want to come in and do a live hour of blues records, be a blues disc jockey once a week? And I said, well, it sounds like fun. I got a lot of records, but I mean, I'm not trained as a broadcaster. I don't know anything about announcing, and you can hear my voice. It's, terrible. He said, I think you just slow down a little bit. You'll be okay. I think so. They put me on there with LPs and what they had, some blues there, and I brought what I had, and cassettes, which got me the worst media for broadcast of anything, and I brought those in, and I started it in October of 1989, and as I played Thursday evenings for I'm not sure how many years before they moved me to Saturdays, and it's been on Saturdays ever since. It's a revelation, and I've never, ever expected this. It's not something that I anticipated in my life.
Thank you.
You can catch Microwave Dave Gallagher's Talking the Blues every Sunday evening at 10 o'clock here on listener-supported public radio, WUTC.
I swear I can't leave you alone.
The music of Slim and the Percolator doing some great guitar and harmonica groove stuff. The last one there called Top of the Harp, the Lewis Meyer song. Before that was a Magic Sam classic called Every Night and Every Day. And we started off with the original South Street Shuffle. Slim and the Percolator, that's the name of the record as well. We also had Deidre, the Alabama Blues Queen, and Bobby Rush. How Microwave Dave, you get the blues, you know what to do with them, right? Right.
I know you don't love me, baby, but that's all right.
This is Scenic Roots on listener-supported public radio.